Father, your word says that you inhabit the praise of your people, and that where two or three are gathered in your name, that there you are in the midst of them. We just thank you so much that you sent your Holy Spirit to this place this morning, Father. We just humbly bow before you. We ask that, Father, you would speak to our hearts this morning. You would give us that which we need to hear. Father, I just pray that you would speak through me this message that you have for these your people. Father, restore our soul for your name's sake. In your name we pray. Amen. It's been a long time since I've stood to preach something other that wasn't a wedding. I'm sorry, Grace kids. Excuse me. Nope. Sorry. Grace children. Terry, would you... Chris, would you come do that, please? I'm so sorry. Like I said, it's been a while that I preached something other than weddings and funerals. Last year, I think it was 4 or 5. In that time in the wilderness, God bringing me home, two of those were my best friend, my mama, and then a nephew that was led to the Lord through just a miracle. After my mama died, I went through a very difficult time in my life. My best friend and my mama, less than a month apart. And at the end of that time, they were dying together in the same hospital. I would go from one room to the other visiting them. And of course, I was praying that God would heal them. And Chris, he did. He took them to a place where they'll never get sick or die again. I wanted to keep them here, of course, because I'm a little bit selfish and I love them and I love talking with them and I miss them. But God took them to that place where they'll never again be sick. And I'm so grateful. I was in a bad place last summer. Kind of like we get sometimes when we're worn out and tired. I remember Elijah got real exhausted and ran the length of the thing after he had that encounter with Jezebel, crawled up underneath the juniper tree and said, "Lord, just let me die, I'm so tired." God didn't do that. Instead, he sent his holy angels to minister to him and to restore him to a place he needed to be. And that's the message I want to share with you this morning from Psalm 23. He restores our soul for his name's sake. If you have your Bibles, I invite you to Psalm 23. A lot of you know this by heart. If I were to ask what your favorite passage of Scripture is, a lot of you would say Psalm 23. You know it by heart, some of you do. I remember when I preached there on the island of Jamaica as a young man, wherever I was in the Bible, they would quote the verses along with me. They may not have had God's word in their hand. So many of them were so poor they couldn't afford to own a Bible, but they had God's word in their head and in their heart where it needs to be. If you're there with us in Psalm 23, it says, "The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod, thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. I want you just to stop and think about this morning. I want us to take the cares of this world, and I would just want them, just put them aside. And I want you to think about that verse, that first one there. The Lord is our shepherd. The Lord is our shepherd. I don't know about you, but I'm glad He is my shepherd. If you're here this morning and you don't know what it's like to go through this world, the blue ball can be a tough ride. You know what I'm saying? Sometimes you just wish it would stop for just a little while, let you rest, but it just keeps spinning. But if you're here this morning trying to make it through this life and you don't know the Lord as your shepherd, I pray this morning would be the morning that you would surrender your life to Him. There's all kind of benefits. Think about it. The Lord, He who is almighty, He who is all powerful, He who is all knowing, the Lord, the God who hung the stars in heaven. The psalmist said, when I consider the heavens, the works of your finger, what is man that thou art mindful of him, or the son of man that thou dost care for him? When we think about the sheer immensity of the universe in which we live, when we think about the size of the galaxy, one of millions that fill up this universe, the Lord made that. This shepherd made that. Jesus is not a created being. He is the Creator, this shepherd, this God, this Lord that we're talking about this morning. The Bible says of this shepherd, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was with God. All things were made by Him. Without Him was not anything made that was made. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory as of the only begotten of the Father, the Lord. I've learned two inscrutable facts in this life. There is a God, and we're not Him. He is both immanent and transcendent. Immanent, we could feel Him this morning, couldn't we? Just right here with us, so close, we could almost just reach out and touch Him. Closer than a brother, the Bible says. And yet transcendent, so high and far and mighty above us. His name was so revered in the Old Testament that it was only spoken one day a year. Yahweh was only spoken one day a year. The Lord's name by the high priest in the Holy of Holies on the day of Yom Kippur. That's how much the ancient people revered the Lord. The veil of the temple, when Jesus died, was torn top to bottom, 30 feet high, 30 feet wide, 6 inches thick. And we can now go into the presence of God. God says, come now with confidence into my presence. And while the Lord does entreat us to do that, He never asks us to come lightly or unprepared. Many an endeavor fails because of lack of proper preparation. You ever felt like your prayers weren't getting any higher than the ceiling? I finally figured it out one time. I read the Bible. It's an interesting book there. Found, Chris, it sheds a lot of light on commentaries. But anyway, read in there in Psalms, it says 66:18, the Lord's hand's not so short that he can't reach, or his ear's so dull he can't hear, but your sins have made a separation between you and your God. God's word also says if you regard iniquity in your heart, that means if you don't confess it, he doesn't listen. You want to get on praying ground with God, confess your sins before you bring him your wish list. Just as a side thought, next time you go in the presence of God, you might want to just seek his face before you seek his hand. He wants to do for us. He's our great shepherd. He wants to provide for us. But sometimes we just need to come and say, Daddy, I just want to spend some time with you. I don't care if you give me a thing. I just want to be with you. The Lord, this great God that is our shepherd. My wife's sitting back there and she hates it when I say this, but it's the truth. I'm just a farm boy from South Mississippi. That's all I am. Folks, I don't know a whole lot about sheep. We had a neighbor across the road, and one of the Goss boys had some sheep. I don't know anything about them much. They're kind of cute and furry, and that's about it. Cattle, that's what I knew about growing up. I do know that you drive cattle. I got that. Because Daddy didn't have a dog. He'd say, boy, go out and get those cows. It's time to bring them in. And I'd run this way and that way and this way and that way, and got in all kind of good shape to play ball, but anyway. You drive cattle, but you can't drive sheep. They don't drive. Jesus was talking to a bunch of folks, agrarian society. They just farm folks, okay? Mike hates it when I use those big words, yeah. So they just farm folk, okay? We had a preacher in seminary taught us, Chris, this is kind of funny. He said, if you're shooting over your congregation's head, it don't mean you have a big fancy gun. It means you don't know how to shoot. I don't know about you, but I love Brother Terry because that old boy knows how to shoot. You know what I'm saying? Man, does he feed the sheep. Sheep, they follow. Jesus compared himself to a shepherd. He compared us to sheep. And he said, I call unto them, and they hear my voice, and they come unto me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. The Father which gave them me is greater than all. And no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I don't know about you, but I'm glad when we surrender our lives to him, that he puts those big, strong hand around us and he holds on to us. I'm glad he holds on to us instead of us holding on to him, aren't you? Because I'm afraid I wouldn't make it. I'm glad that this great God is our shepherd. That follow. We follow our shepherd. I didn't know what that meant, really, not having hung around sheep. So I went to Israel one time. I was standing there on a hill down in the middle of the desert, the Negev, the wilderness. And I mean, there's not a whole lot there. It's about sundown, and I noticed these two shepherdesses. I was up on a hill, and they had these two valleys. They call them wadis. That's dry stream, you know. So they had these two coming like this, and they had these two Bedouin women. Now, they live like people did 4,000, 5,000 years ago. Think of the Amish on steroids. You got Bedouin, okay? They want to go back not a couple, 300 years ago, 4,000, 5,000, like Abraham did, okay? Living in those camel hair tents. Really cool. But I stand there watching them, They couldn't see each other because they down in the wadi, but I could up on a hill, and I started to holler down. They were two women shepherdesses, and I started to holler down, "Ladies, you better hold up. Your herds are going to run together." But I'm just curious. I want to see what happens. I stood there watching them. And they came, and it's just like a marching band. They all sort of mingled together. You know how those marching bands just kind of all clutter up, and then they come out and spell the most cool words, you know? That's what happened. This one's sheep followed her. That one's sheep followed her. They said hi to each other and kept going, and the sheep, never one, got mixed up with one another. Passed right amongst each other and kept following the sheep. Sheep are amazingly stupid creatures, I've been told. You got to take care of them, you know. Cattle weren't the brightest creatures in the world, but I heard sheep are even worse. Kind of hurts her feelings when Jesus calls a sheep. But notice it says there, "He makes me to lie down in green pastures." Being a country boy, folks, I know that means that that green pasture doesn't just happen. You got to plant some grass. See, it says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." Because the God we know takes care of us. He provides for our needs according to His riches and glory. Some of you might be worried right now about your stuff, about your things, about your provisions for life. Don't worry. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, through prayer and supplication, let your requests be made known unto God. And that peace of God, which passes all understanding, will guard your heart and minds in Christ Jesus. Don't have to worry about a thing. The Lord is your shepherd. Makes us lie down in green pastures. Critters don't lie down till they get a tummy full. You know what I'm saying? And when they've eaten enough and are satisfied, they lie down in green pastures that the shepherd provides for them. Leads me beside the still waters. I don't know what that means to y'all, but back home, it means a pond. Not only do these beasts have to eat, but they also have to drink. Now over there, I understand they don't have ponds. When those streams, those wadis dry up, they better know where the nearest water hole is. You know, well underground so they can get them some water. But if you don't provide that for them, they don't live. God sustains our very being. Every breath you take, every meal you eat, all of this is provided to you by God. And He's going to take care of you. Don't you worry. He's your shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. I love that next verse. It says, "He restoreth my soul." Sometimes these sheep get all kind of messed up and lost. At night, the shepherd's got to come home and commence to count his sheep. 99. Ooh, I'm supposed to have 100. So he counts them again. Nope, one of them's missing. I bet it's old Bubba out there, you know. He don't have sense enough to get in out the range. So the shepherd goes and looks for him, because that word "restores my soul" in the original is talking about a cast sheep, a down sheep, a sheep that can't get up. They'll flip over on their back sometimes, these sheep. Oh my, how did this happen? And they'll just lay there. You know? You know? They can't get up. They call it a down sheep or a cast sheep. You got 2 or 3 days to find that little lost lamb, or it's a goner. That's why the shepherd leaves the 99 and goes looking for the one. These are up and running. This one's down and out. Jesus came for the cast sheep, the down sheep, the lost sheep. And I'm so glad He did, because I was one of them. There was a herd in Jesus' day that didn't much care for what Jesus was doing. Scribes, Pharisees, and Sadducees, the religious establishment of the day. And man, they were not at all happy that the shepherd was coming trying to find some lost sheep. Jesus was hanging around, don't tell anybody, a bunch of sinners. Yeah. And they didn't care for that. They'd come to the street corner. They'd have little prayer books on their heads, little scripture books. They'd have a little horn, a little shofar horn, and they'd toot their horn. It was the signal to everybody, I'm just about ready to pray now. Everybody listen. Jesus was passing one of these characters one day, had just blown his horn. He said, guys, his disciples, come over here and listen to this rascal. And the guy's prayer was, Father, I thank you so much. I'm not like that sinner over there. Ooh, he's had up with it, wasn't he? Man. The old sinner standing over there beating on his chest, and he said, Father, the Bible said he wouldn't even look up. Father, be merciful to me, a sinner. Jesus asked his disciples, which prayer you reckon they heard? The old sinner, right? Sadly, the descendants of these people still exist. Jesus had to tell a few stories there because, you know, they didn't get it a lot of times, kind of like me, you know. Keith, try it again. So, Jesus told simple stories. He was hanging around sinners trying to save some of these lost sheep, and they were criticizing him for doing that. This old gal from Magdala, Mary, word has it that she was a woman of ill repute. Demon possessed, I've heard. Don't you love Dumbo? That cartoon Dumbo? You remember when Dumbo was born? The mother elephants all got together and he had big old ears like that. And said, have you heard about that new elephant was born? No. Boy, do I have a trunk full of dirt for you. And they commenced to talking about Dumbo's big ears. I love small towns. I was born in a small town. I'll die in a small town. I think there's a song somewhere about that. But one thing I've learned about small towns, gossip don't have to be true, just interesting, right? See, these folks want to tear down. They want to destroy. A bunch of them got together one day. This woman was caught in adultery, and they getting ready to do her in. Jesus showed up, and what's going on here? Well, this woman was caught in adultery, Jesus, and we doing the right thing. We fixing to destroy her. You going to do what? We going to get rid of her. We going to stone her to death. What you think about that, Jesus? Jesus knelt down, drew a line in the sand, and then he started writing. I got some idea he's writing each of them's name and their sin beside it. Then he stood up and he said, whoever's without sin casts the first stone. Thud, 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 the rocks hit the ground. They went to the house. Jesus looked at the woman and said, where are those that accuse you? And she said, well, they're not here. Jesus said, I don't accuse you. See, he was the only one who could have thrown a stone. And he chose not to. Watch throwing stones, folks. Don't be part of that herd. You know what I'm saying? Jesus told a story about a prodigal son. He was trying to get the Pharisees to understand what he was doing and what they were doing. So he told this story about this boy that took his daddy's inheritance and spent it on himself. Supposed to spend it on daddy when he got old. Problem wasn't he gave it to him early. Problem was he didn't spend it on daddy in his old age. You know what I'm saying? Spent it on himself. Real greedy. Went to a far country, and when the money was gone, so were the friends and the good times. And this old boy was all alone in a pig pen trying to get the slop that the pigs were eating. He was so hungry. And the Bible said he came to himself. My wife recently was talking with a woman who's near death, and she said, I don't know how I got here. Some of you know exactly what I'm talking about. I don't know how I got here. How in heaven's name did I get to this point in my life? This old boy woke up, smelled a coffee, came home. You know the story. The father ran out, greeted him, threw that robe of righteousness around him, ring on a finger. I wonder what would have happened to this boy if he'd have come to the older brother before he met the father. Ever thought about that? You know the older brother, Pharisee, Sadducee. Well, I've been good. Daddy never gave me a feast. Making a big to-do over that sinner. What about me? Folks, I was coming back to the Lord one time when I met the older brother. I can tell you what happened. You don't get home. You either a stepping stone leading somebody to the Lord, or you a stumbling block keep them from getting there. Don't be a stumbling block. The Lord will remove you. Be a stepping stone. Be somebody glad to help somebody else make their way home. Get home. They need bad to get there. They didn't get that one, so Jesus told another one about this sheep. Yeah, his farmer had these 99 sheep. One of them was one of these cast down sheep. He had to go get it. This, and Chris, you should be doing this now, land the plane. I told Chris if I got the wax and the elephant too long, land the plane. So, thank you, brother. I don't know if you've ever been cast. I don't know if you've ever been down. I don't know if you've ever been gone so long. But something in your heart, if you were eagle, something in your heart, you can, what's the old saying? You can run with turkeys, but you can't fly with the eagles. You can't fly with the eagles, you're running with the turkeys. What in the world is an eagle doing with turkeys? You know what I'm saying? I like acorns, you like acorns, we like acorns. They don't like acorns. If you're an eagle, if you're a child of God, you don't like acorns. You can do that stuff if you want to ensure your acceptance by those who are not. But somewhere inside, you look up at the blue skies and say, God, I'm an eagle. I don't want to live like this anymore. I don't want to do this anymore. I don't want to be this anymore. I'm down. I'm about dead. Oh, God, come help me. The shepherd. I love God and I love His Word. In Isaiah it says, a bruised reed He will not break, and a flickering candle He will not extinguish. It's not God's job to break us. It's not God's job to extinguish us. The Bible says, but like a shepherd, He picks us up. He finds us when we're down, and we can't even get home like the prodigal son. He at least walked home, but there's sometimes we get to where we can't get up. I've fallen and I can't get up, you know. And that's when the shepherd comes and He picks us up. And the Bible says He carries us close to His heart. Aren't you glad that when we can't even get home, Jesus come looking for us? And when we just say a simple prayer, it's not fancy, it's just Jesus. He comes in the midst of our darkest night, in the midst of our deepest pit. We're almost gone. And the shepherd picks us up and carries us close to His heart. He restores our soul for His name's sake. 3 points in a poem. 'Twas battered and scarred, and the auctioneer thought it scarcely worth his while to waste much time on the old violin, but he held it up with a smile. What am I bid, good folks, he cried. Who'll start the bidding for me? A dollar, who'll make it two? $2, who'll make it three? $3 once, $3 twice, going for three. But no. From the room far back, a gray-haired man came forward and picked up the bow, and wiping the dust off the old violin and tightening the loose strings, he played out a melody pure and sweet, like a caroling angel sings. The music ceased, and the auctioneer, with a voice that was quiet and low, said, "What am I bid for the old violin?" And he held it up with a bow. $1,000. Who'll make it two? 2,000. Who'll make it three? 3,000. Once, 3,000. Twice, going and gone, said he. The crowd cheered, but some of them cried, "We don't understand. What changed its worth?" Swift came the reply. "'Twas a touch of the master's hand." And there's many a person with a life out of sin, battered and scarred by sin. They're auction cheap to the thoughtless crowd, much like that old violin. A mess of pottage, a glass of wine, a game, and they carry on. They go in once, they go in twice. They go in and almost gone. But the master comes, and the foolish crowd never quite understands the worth of a soul and the change that's wrought by the touch by the master's hand. I was down and almost out. And then the master came. And he found me. Chris, he found me. And he restored my soul. Where am I in my walk with the Lord? I'm in his arms, being held close to his heart. And he bringing me home. Terry asked me, said, "Why are you coming here? Why you want to join the church here?" I said, "Terry, because God told me he's coming again and he wants to put his old warriors back together." I read in Ezekiel about an army that was all nothing but bones. And he took Ezekiel out there and he put these bones back together, bone to bone. He asked Ezekiel, "You reckon I can raise up an army of this valley of dry bones?" And Ezekiel said, "Thou knowest." And he did. Bone came to bone, sinew, cartilage, muscle, skin wrapped around it. But when God breathed on them, and in the Old Testament, the Hebrew word for breath means wind, breath, or spirit. When the Spirit came upon them, they stood up an exceeding great army. I don't know when Jesus is coming again. His message didn't say that to me. It just said, "I'm coming again. I want to restore you for my name's sake." And I said, "Terry, that's why I'm here. I've been busted up pretty bad." In Hebrew, they don't care about the time so much. They care about the kind. I don't remember Hebrew other than it goes right to left and looks funny. But I do remember this, Pael and Hithpael. There's Pael. "How bad you break that pot?" "Well, I sort of broke it, but I think we can super glue some of it." Or Hithpael. "Oh man, I shattered that thing about a million pieces. We might as well throw that baby out." God don't throw people out. Did you hear what I just said? We live in a disposable society, but God don't throw people out that's broken. The God I know is a God that comes to people and puts the shattered pieces of their lives back together. Humpty Dumpty and had a great fall. All the king's horses, all the... What's impossible for man is possible for God. Some of you are sitting here this morning and you're saying to yourself, "Man, you don't know what I've done. There's no way God can put me back together. I'm in a pit so deep." I had some boys offshore I used to work with on oil rigs, they said, "Preacher, God don't live out here. Don't start that Jesus stuff out here. God lives everywhere." And like Corrie ten Boom said in her book, The Hiding Place, there's no pit so deep that God is not deeper still. There's nothing you can get yourself into that God can't get you out of. There's no sin so black He can't make it white as snow. In Isaiah it says, "Come now, let us reason together, thus saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. They'll be red like crimson, they'll be as wool." Terry, we land in the plane. Chris, we land in the plane now. I want you to bow your heads with me this morning. I don't want anybody looking around. Some of you came here this morning, and God's Spirit started talking to you as we started singing these songs, and He's kept talking to you. Some of you know that you're in a bad place, and you just can't be there anymore. You're going to die if you stay there. And you know that you need the Lord. You know it. And you've heard God speak to your heart this morning. The Bible says He convicts us of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. And He's talked to you this morning. You've heard Him this morning. And from the depths of your soul, you say, "I don't know Him. I came to the Lord when a boy with cerebral palsy stood up. And after telling that his mother and father died when he was young and he was raised in foster homes, instead of shaking his fist and getting angry with God, he decided, instead of getting bitter, to get better. That's our choice. You can get just as mad with God as you can be. You can blame Him for all kind of stuff that's not His fault. That was my mistake. That's where I messed up. That's where I got off track. And then I finally realized it wasn't His fault. I was the one who failed." This morning, if you're there and you just want to know Him, at the end of that boy's sermon, he said, "I love Jesus with all my heart." He said, "I got cerebral palsy. What's your problem?" "My problem was I didn't know the Lord. Been to church all my life, a preacher's kid, son of missionaries. Didn't know Jesus." Some of you have heard all about Jesus, but you don't know Him. You know that's the problem. If you're here this morning, please know and look. But if you're here this morning, you say, "Look, I've heard about Jesus, but I want to know Him. I want Him to be the shepherd of my life." Would you lift your hand, please? We want to pray for you. Okay, thank you. Thank you. Let's pray. Father, You've seen these that have responded by lifting their hand. You know the desperation of their lives. Father, I ask that You now would help them come to know You. If you raised your hand, I want you to pray this prayer with me. Father, I want to know You. Jesus, I want to know You as shepherd of my life. Forgive my sin. Come into my heart. Save me. Some of you this morning may be here. You know the Lord, but you went into the far country. And like Dr. Jerry Vine said, sin will take you farther than you want to go, keep you longer than you want to stay, cost you way more than you ever wanted to pay. You come to your senses. You've woken up and you say, "How in the world did I get here?" It happens to us all. If you're here this morning and say, "I just want to come on back home. I'm tired of living a life like a turkey. I'm an eagle. I want to be what God created me to be." Would you just lift your hands this morning? "I want to come on back." I want to pray for you this morning. Father, You know that sometimes we get off track. Sometimes we get down, we can't get back up. For those that raise their hand, Jesus, I just pray that You would restore their soul for Your name's sake. Just bring them back to a place of redemption and restoration. Father, thank You for being with us this morning. Thank You that You are our great shepherd that restores our soul for Your name's sake. In Your name we pray.
Thank you, Keith. Golly, man, tell you what. Do you understand what I said earlier, that you're not here by accident? Some of you needed to be here today to hear exactly what Keith shared. And I know you needed to be here, so I thank God for that. So let's tell Keith we appreciate him and thank him for being here this morning to do that. Amen. All right, guys, we want to take time and have our offering. So if our ushers will come on down that are going to be handling that this morning. I see the plates are coming this way. We do give here, and God has blessed us with great givers, and we've been able to do many things in our physical setup because of that, but we want to give you opportunity to do that. If you're visiting with us, we do not expect you to give this morning. We simply do ask that you do put the little piece of paper or the little tab here with your information in the plate. That's all we ask of you. So let's pray together, and then we'll take up our offering. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for what we've experienced. We thank you for speaking through Keith to our very hearts. And God, we thank you now as we take time for this offering. Bless it, God, for your purpose and your use for us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, while they're doing that, I want to draw your attention just to the bulletin. Please make sure that you take note of it. I'm not going to read these to you. You are capable of doing that. I will draw your attention to one thing, the ministry partner class that will be coming up on Saturday, July the 15th from 10 to noon. The way we do things here at Grace Fellowship is that we don't ask you to come down and necessarily be members. We ask you to be partners with us in ministry. And this partnership class that Terry will be doing on July, in July, will be one that will just basically explain what that means and what we believe here and what's important to us, and give you a chance to be a part of that. All right? Well, I want to take a moment and do something very, very unique and different for us here. And we want to recognize someone and let her know how much we appreciate her and that she's done. I'm going to ask Megan Lingle to come up here with me real quick. Now, many of you know Miss Megan here. Now, you got to understand, I have a history with Megan. This is not Megan Lingle. This is Dingle. I taught Megan at Jenkins, and I loved having her in class. She's a great gal. She's a wonderful kid. She's a wonderful young lady. She's not a kid anymore. She's growing up. That's just making me old. But Megan has been doing a lot with the Feed the Need program, and we've been a part of that here at Grace Fellowship. But Megan has been spearheading a lot of this stuff and being very integral in all that she's done with that. And so one thing we want to do this morning is we do want to give her this certificate of recognition, and it acknowledges the work of Megan Lingle with Feed the Need and Grace Fellowship Church. So let's let Megan know how much we appreciate her and what she's done. Now, the other thing we're going to do briefly here, just hang with me for a few minutes. We want Megan to tell us a little bit about what she is doing and what her next steps are and where she's going. Now, I did tell her I was going to ask her one particular question, and I'm going to ask that question, Megan. I really need to know, who was your most favorite teacher and the best teacher you ever had?
It was definitely you.
Oh, see, it was me. I didn't set her up on that one either. No, Megan, do tell us a little bit. I want you to share with us just real briefly kind of this, what drew you to this, what your next step is, where you're going from here, what you're going to be competing in and doing, okay?
Okay. On Tuesday, I leave for Miss Florida's Outstanding Teen, which is the teen category of Miss Florida, which if you win that, you go on to Miss America. So it's all under the Miss America organization. And in order to be a part of this organization, you have to have a platform. And my platform is Feed the Need. And I have collected over 20,000 items in the past 5 months. With y'all's help, so thank you so much. And Feed the Need is a nonprofit organization that helps over 700, I think even 800 kids now in Putnam County. So I really do appreciate y'all's help. And I'm going to be a senior. So that's my next step besides this pageant and helping out with the organization. So I'd just like to thank y'all so much for all that you've helped with the community and my platform. So thank you.
Now, we've got the meals, right? All right, you want to say something about that? If you will say something about that.
Okay, I am having a send-off luncheon before I leave, and the tickets are $8, and it's 2 pieces of chicken, a side, a roll, and a dessert. So I'd really enjoy it if y'all would come over and celebrate with my family and I and my friends. It's really good, just saying, and it's food. Woo. And it's in the fellowship hall, down the hall, in the gym.
All right, so it's going to be in the gym, so out these doors, hang a right, go down, you'll see some double doors there, go through there, you'll find it. So if you are interested in that, we invite you to stay and be a part of it. That is, again, helping Megan, and it is a send-off luncheon for her, so we are proud of you. And let's take a moment, and let's do something as a fellowship. Let's pray for Megan and all that she's going to be doing. We don't want to send her off without prayer. I mean, that'd be kind of silly if we did that. So let's stand together, and let's offer a prayer for her, and then we'll also have this as our closing prayer as we go from here. Thank you for being here today. I hope God has blessed you in a very special way. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, as we stand here today, I do thank you for this outstanding young lady. I thank you that she has been a part and has crossed the paths in my life, Lord, and I thank you for what she has become and her heart and her desire to do what she does. We thank you for the example she has set. And God, we pray now that as she takes on this next competition, that God, you'll just bless her. And God, if you have a greater purpose in this, that Lord, you will just do what you need to do. And so God, we trust that. We entrust her safety to you. We ask that God, you just take care of her and her mom and all those that are continuing to be there to support her, her friends. And so Lord, we just pray blessings on her. God, we thank you for this fantastic day that you've given us today. And God, be with us as we go from here. And we thank you again for the fact that you are the good shepherd and that you want to bring us home. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.